Chapter 11. High Tide.
"That's ridiculous," said Whittaker, the official from the Navy. Sir Walter went out to make a phone call, and when he came back he said, "I have just spoken to the First Lord. I got him out of bed. He was not the man who came to our meeting." "Don't you see how clever the Blackstone was?" I said. "You were all talking about the plans for the naval defences. No one paid any attention to the First Lord. You all saw the man that you expected to see. None of you even looked at him closely. You were all too busy looking at the plans."
Royer, the Frenchman, spoke. "Hannay is right. Our enemies understand psychology. They have not been stupid."
"But he didn't get the plans," said General Winstanley. "He took nothing out of the room with him."
"It's easy for a spy to remember several pages of figures and names," said Royer. "They are trained to have a photographic memory. He looked at the plans for 20 minutes. He had plenty of time to memorize them."
"Well, I suppose that we must change the plans," said Sir Walter sadly.
Whittaker looked at him.
"I don't think that we can really make any serious changes in our naval defence plans," he said. "We would have to change the whole geography of England."
"There's another problem," said Royer. "At this meeting I spoke freely about the French plans in case of war. If the wrong person gets this information, it could be very dangerous."
"The news will already be in the post on its way to Germany," said Whittaker.
"No, you don't understand spies," said Royer. "The spy will deliver the information himself and collect his reward. These men must leave by sea. It is the only way out of the country. We must search all the ships and ports."
I did not feel very hopeful that in such a short time we would be able to find the 3 cleverest spies in Europe on an island of 50 million people. All we really knew was that one was old and half covered his eyes like a falcon. One was tall and dark, and one was young and blonde.
Suddenly, I had an idea. "Where is Scudder's notebook? I remember something in it," I said. Sir Walter gave me the notebook. I opened it and found what I was looking for. 39 steps. 39 steps. I counted them. High tide. 10:17 p.m. "It's a clue," I shouted. "Scudder knew where the Blackstone spies were hiding. He knew they were going to leave the country by boat. Tomorrow is the day, and it is a place where high tide is at 10:17 p.m.
"They may leave tonight," said Sir Arthur Drew.
"No, they have a plan and they won't hurry. Where can we get a book of tide tables?" I asked. "The book will list the exact times for high and low tides for most places on the coast."
"Let's go to the Ministry of the Navy," said Whittaker.
We got into 2 cars, all of us except for Sir Walter, who went in another car to go and bring McGillivray from Scotland Yard. At the Ministry of the Navy, we went to the library and got a book of tide tables. There were hundreds of places where high tide was at 10:17 p.m. I had another idea, and looked up the times that ships were sailing for Europe, but there were none scheduled to sail at 10:17 p.m. Why was high tide so important? It had to mean that the place was a small harbour, or had no harbour at all. And why were the steps important? I thought about the kind of place needed if someone in a hurry wanted to leave secretly for Germany. It wouldn't be from a big harbour. It would be somewhere on the east coast, probably towards the south. I wrote a list of my conclusions. Almost certain. 1. A place where there are several sets of stairs. One set has 39 steps. 2. High tide will be at 10:17 p.m. Probably planning to leave at high tide. 3. Place is probably not a harbour. 4. Not a scheduled sailing ship. So it must be a yacht or fishing boat. Then I made another list. Guesses. 1. Not a harbour, so probably open coast. 2. Small boat. Yacht, fishing boat, or other small boat. 3.
Place is probably on the southeast coast. It seemed strange that a group of such important men was watching me make lists, and that what I was doing was a matter of life and death. Sir Walter and MacGillivray from Scotland Yard joined us. MacGillivray sent out instructions to watch the ports and train stations, along with descriptions of the two men I had seen at the inn and on the roadside, and the old man that I had seen at the farmhouse. "Here's what I've worked out so far," I finally said. "We must find a place where there are several sets of steps down to the beach. One of them has 39 steps. I think it's a piece of open coast somewhere near the English Channel. High tide will be at 10:17 tomorrow night." Then I had another idea. "Isn't there an inspector of coast guards or someone who knows the east coast?" Whittaker knew just the man we needed and went to bring him in a car. They returned at 1 o'clock in the morning. Winstanley from the War Department questioned him. "We want to know all the places on the southeast coast where several sets of steps go down to the beach," he said. "It must also be a quiet place." "There are quite a few places on the southeast coast with houses that have steps down to the beach," said the Inspector of Coast Guards. "There's the Rough, a place near Bradgate. It's got a lot of villas with steps down to a private beach." I looked for Bradgate in the tide tables. On June the 15th, the high tide there was listed at 10:27 p.m. "We're getting close to an answer," I said. "How can I find out the time for high tide at the Rough?"
"I can tell you," the Inspector of Coast Guard said. "I once rented a house there in June and did a lot of night fishing. The tide there is 10 minutes before Bradgate."
I looked around at the other men. "One of those sets of stairs has 39 steps," I said. "Will you give me a car, Sir Walter, and a map? If Mr. MacGillivray agrees, I think we can prepare something for tomorrow." It seemed ridiculous for me to be taking charge of catching the Black Stone, but the other men did not object, since I had been involved in the matter from the beginning. I had also been used to difficult missions in the army. General Royer said what the other men were thinking. "Personally, I am happy to leave this matter in Mr. Hannay's hands." By 3 o'clock in the morning, I was in a car driving at full speed to Bradgate with one of MacGillivray's best men, Scaife, beside me.